Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 34 of Juvo Hub. We are so grateful to have you back on our show today, and we are very much looking forward to an excellent and timely important topic on active threat mitigation with a special guest from Intelligence Consulting Partners, Mike Weller. But before we get to him, we want to just give you our couple of our quick tips for the week, just to get the ball rolling. Mark, how are you, man? What's new and exciting?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, everything is good here. We're about to have a thunderstorm over here, so I hope we don't lose. I hope you don't lose me. So that might be a tip. Hang on to me. My tip to today or this week is, it kind of carries on with the conversation I was having with a friend of mine, and it is written, let me read it. It says, there is only one person responsible for where you are today and where you'll be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I find this fascinating because of my conversation. Someone said to me a long time ago, actually the same person, we were talking about some other people and in her life, but she said, you know, you just have to live your life. Stop trying to live someone else's life, you know, be in your life, be committed to what you want to accomplish and accept where you've been and where you're going. Stop trying to kind of keep up with the Joneses, right? And I think we do that a lot in business too, especially in maybe our industry, but we're always looking at what other people either have accomplished or where they're going. So I liked this quote. It's the tip. It is, only one person is responsible, and that's you. You are responsible about where you've been and where you'll be tomorrow.
I love it. Excellent, excellent tip. Thank you for sharing that. Hal, Creative Concepts. Forgot to throw that in there when I introduced you, brother. So my tip for the week has to do with content marketing. So I think if you were to describe your genre of tip, Mark, sounds like it's emotional intelligence related. Yeah, would you say? Okay. So for my tip is going to be marketing related, and it's interesting when people are trying to plan out content marketing, how they can easily become a moth to a light bulb and just flying from one thing to the other because it looks shiny. In content marketing, you have to be extremely focused and you have to stick with it. So don't jump all over the place on your topics. Sit down as a team, get creative. Come up with your subject, find your subject matter expert, and have a calendar to outline what you're going to be referring to, and just stick with it. So Marvelous Monday, as Dr. Debbie Phillips says, everybody knows her, it's a Marvelous Monday and it's a Winning Wednesday. I love how she has branded her content just with something as simple as that. Excellent example. You don't have to overthink it, but just have some sort of a theme to your content marketing. And that way people know when they're opting in, this is what I'm going to get. I'm opting into this. This is the education I'm going to receive. So they're not confused. Like, why are they going down this road? Last week it was on this subject. Now all of a sudden it's a completely different thing that doesn't relate to your brand whatsoever. So that is my marketing tip for the day. Thank you, Mark, for yours. Love it. Let us get into our show and introduce our awesome, fantastic guest, Mike Weller. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, but let me tell you something. I don't know that I can follow that after the YouTube guys. I mean, those were fantastic tips. And sometimes I think maybe I need to redirect myself. So good stuff. Good stuff.
This is our education podcast for property management, man. This is all love and sharing awesomeness. And we are grateful to have you, Mike Weller from Intelligence Consulting Partners. So Mike, you and I go back a few years. I've worked with you and your office on a couple of projects. I love what you guys are doing. You help communities stay safe. You work with groups on active threat mitigation and how to deal with active shooter situations. Can you give us a summary beyond that? What do you do at Intelligence Consulting Partners? How does Intelligence Consulting Partners help America?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, let me thank both of you guys for asking us to come be a part of this. And as you said, Jonathan, we go back a couple of years and we've done some wonderful work together, and we're very appreciative of that. So moving forward, what I would say is that a little bit about us, Intelligence Consulting Partners. We've kind of been a staple for the last 25 plus years as a subject matter expert in the field of active threat mitigation. A lot of people think active shooter, they think of guns and things of that nature. So what we like to talk about is active threat mitigation, because there's a whole host of things that are crisis related. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But as it relates to who we are, so we developed this partnership, Pete and I, and Pete is the CEO of Intelligence Consulting Partners, which I'm sure we'll provide the website at the end and all the other information if somebody would like to reach out to us and ask for any kind of experiences that we could give them. Pete has asked me to be the vice president of the organization for operations. So on a daily, I run the operations part of Intelligence Consulting Partners. And we have a whole host of different things that we make ourselves available to the clients. But the most important, which is why I think we're here today, is to talk about active threat mitigation. And have established a kind of a model that we've put together. And I hope to be able to share that with you a little bit today as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to that too. So why don't we just dive right into it? So when you and I and Mark were talking before we started recording this episode, you know, Mark and I have been working and training in the property management industry for years now. Mark, much longer than I have. And so we've seen a lot of different topics, the kind of topic where we don't really want to talk about it, or it's not that relevant because the chances of us having to deal with that are so slim. How do you respond to that? Like, why should active threat mitigation be part of an operating manual, or be a focus that leadership does make sure that their team is trained on?
Would say something, Jonathan. Those are great points that you established there. And usually in every one of my presentations, regardless of who they are, whether it's the highest official or the lowest level employee, we know that this is an uncomfortable conversation. That conversation, although uncomfortable, is a must. And one of the things that we've learned in a lot of the case studies that we've done and all these tragic events is the fact that we've extrapolated information from each one of those, right? That has afforded us the opportunity to create knowledge, experience, and bringing forth that information that's going to be vital to whomever may be involved in these crisis situations. And let's be honest, everybody's crisis is a little bit different, right? My crisis may be a little bit different than yours versus somebody else over here because of the experiences that we've had. So what we try to do is we try to put people at ease to make them understand that, first off, although this is valuable information, we want you to walk away from here to be able to at least utilize these tools to put in your toolbox as a future in the event that you, a family member, or somebody else may be involved in one of these. It's unfortunate, but what we have seen is and more of a robust experience across the nation that these things are more practical than not. Now, maybe not on the mass killings, but at least from a workplace violence. So we try to make people understand that even though this is not an OSHA regulated thing, it's something that we need to have in our back pockets to have a plan. And one of the things that we really live upon is this situational awareness. What upsets me is there's a lot of people in this world that don't realize the importance of situational awareness. Mm. And I'll use a perfect example. You know, I'm driving down the road and I got a half a tank of gas. Well, in my world, it's time for me to stop and fill the gas tank up. What I don't want to do is drive until that car is empty. And now I got to pull into some sketchy gas station, not knowing what's going on because I'm in a crisis thinking about I'm getting ready to run out of gas, as opposed to being proactive and doing something that's a little bit safer in order for me to do that. You know, so it's a very simplistic approach, but hopefully that kind of helps you understand where we're going.
For sure. That's a good That's a great illustration, a great visual for our audience. Yeah, this, thank you for sharing that. Mark, you got any thoughts on that?
I was listening to you talk, and it's interesting to me. I feel like most of us should want this type of education, this type of conversation. Jonathan, you started off by saying that, you know, we are a little leery about having certain conversations, at least in this industry. I don't know, Mike, about your other clients. I'm fascinated to find out, though, about how they are receiving what you do. Because for me personally, I would love to sit in and listen to a seminar about this or educate myself more. As you were talking, I was just thinking that I definitely need more education about it, because I myself just let myself run out of gas in a sketchy part of town, and I could have filled up before I left for that trip. And I was just thinking, dang, that was really good advice had I heard it about a month ago. But look, I think anything that you say today is going to be very valuable, because in this world that we're living in, I know for even myself, I am constantly looking around more frequently than I ever did in the past for what I call sketchy behavior. So yeah, I'm fascinated to hear what else you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And if I may, what I'll say is this, is we're not trying to create paranoia. We're not trying to create preppers, right? We're not trying to say that Armageddon's coming, the end of the world is here. What we're asking people to do is recognize that there are signs that are out there, and those signs are recognizable signs. And again, I go back to the case studies that we've done, and in at least 166 of the active threat situations that have occurred. And we find that there's a lot of common denominators that could have prevented some of these events from happening. Right. So again, being very proactive, understanding what some of those signs are. What we're finding now is that more people are becoming extremely educated because, one, they're tired of being victims. That's one. Two, they want to know what they can do in the event something like this happens. I'll talk about the Harvest Las Vegas incident. That right there, that incident in and of itself, as horrific as that was, do you know how many people that impacted in our nation? That impacted people from all the way to the East Coast, down South, all over the place because of the crowd that was at that event. So when I say that it may, as Jonathan asked, you know, some people may say that it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to put my head in the sand and I'm not going to worry about it. I don't know about you, but that's kind of gambling a little bit. When I know that knowledge can give me an advanced prerequisite to allow me to be prepared, I'm going to do everything in my power to get that advanced knowledge. So going back to what you're asking about management and organizations in which we deal with, one of the things that they're so concerned about is that, you know, liability, right? What's the liability as an owner of an organization, of a business? What do I need to be concerned about? And what measures do I need to put in place? And what we find is this, to your point, Mark, is that there's a lot of organizations that don't know. They know what they know, and they don't know what they don't know. And we find ourselves taking them by the hand and walking them down a path to say, look, these are the things that you should be thinking about. Not saying that you have to do it, but at least it gives you some ideas and it broadens your horizons to realize that when these events do happen, this is going to be the outcome. And what did we do on the beginning edge of that, if that makes sense?
Sure, of course. Yeah. Let me ask you something. I don't know if, Jonathan, this might be one of the questions you want to ask him, but my brain's jumping ahead then. What would you say is one of your sort of first and foremost kind of, we're going to start this conversation, you're a new client, this is what I think we need. Where do you begin? What would you give the advice to a new company about? This is what I think you should be looking for, what you should be doing inside your organization. What is your first number one tip?
So it's kind of funny that you asked that, right? People call us all the time and they say, hey, we want to do some active shooter or active threat training. This is what we want to do. And I'm like, okay, well, hold on a second. Let's pump our brakes for a second and let's look at the big picture. And when I say that, I say that with a lot of passion, because you can't just go into an organization and say, you need to do this. So many times I see these cookie cutter solutions of, okay, take this 10-minute presentation on active shooter that you can't fail no matter what you do, right? Mm-hmm. And well, we don't necessarily agree with that answer. How about this answer? That's great and wonderful. It's something. It's better than nothing. But the fact is that what we do is we tailor all the things that we do in regards to how we're going to go in and become a family member. We don't believe in that we're a client or an outsider, any of that. We believe in being a family member because we want to make that commitment to them that we are so committed to your safety that these are the things that we need to put into place. So the very first thing that we address is this. There needs to be a site assessment on that specific location. Like we need to be able to go in there and look at what measures you already have in place, if any at all, and maybe make some little modifications that will fix all of those things. And to kind of go on this a little bit, Mark, we actually have a 5-step model that we follow in. So no matter where we go or what we do, we always follow that model. Now, it doesn't mean that an organization has to take every step that we recommend, but it's certainly we can't come in and write a structured policy on an active threat policy if we don't know what your site actually needs, right? Even an organization as large as, let's just use FedEx, right? Because they've had some tragic events. Mm-hmm. Every single one of their warehouses are similar in nature, but they have their own challenges. So therefore, we got to make sure that those challenges are met properly. If that answers your question and that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I love it. So for our property management, this is, you know, the majority of the people who listen to this show, Mike, are property management based. And you and I have talked about this. They got a kind of a unique structure. And you mentioned, like, for instance, a site assessment. Now, sure. Just thinking what's in their minds, they've got sites everywhere. You know, some of the property management companies, they have a corporate office. And then they have teams in their portfolio that may be 100 communities or 50 communities or 25 communities, all different sizes. So from that perspective, what would you say, you know, what have you been doing? Do you approach it a little bit differently, knowing that here we are, we've got corporate, you know, I'm in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, but now I have this community that has 100 apartments and this community over here has 30 and so on. Do you approach it a little bit different when it comes to that initial like site assessment discussion?
Yeah, so here's what I would say is that let's say we have an organization and we have a couple of our clients now that they test us, right? They want a test run to say, hey, what can you actually do for us? Mm-hmm. So if we have an organization that has multiple units across the city, what we typically do is go into their corporate office and we say, okay, let us do a site assessment. Let us do a policy. Let us do some training. We'll go ahead and show you what we have here. We'll do it just based on corporate office. And then as long as you're good with what we're doing, then we'll spread those tentacles out. Now, here's what's so great is that policy is policy, right, within the organization. The policy is not going to change from building one to building two to building three for the most part, right? Maybe how I'm going to exit the building or where I'm going to go out, maybe some small things, but nothing to the extent of what it's actually going to be. But the five-level building versus the two-level building is obviously going to be a difference when we talk about assessments. So what we do is then we segue out and we do small site assessments at those other properties on top of that. So, you know, the training will be the training as well, too. We cater the training specifically to what it is that we're doing. So we talk about site assessments. We talk about policy. We talk about training of the employees and staff faculty. We talk about being able to do special events like we talk about tabletop exercises. When we talk about tabletop exercises, we get management to buy into, okay, look, this is the event that's going on. How prepared are you for you when these events happen? And what we do is we identify kind of some holes that need to be plugged and we help them to refine what they're doing, right? And it's not that they're doing things wrong, but again, I go back to, you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. Right. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's sort of how I envisioned it, but of course you explained it much more eloquently than I ever could. So that's good. That's good. Thank you for referencing the tabletop exercises, because I think, you know, just thinking back to some of the education pieces that you and I worked on, I forgot about that. But what an amazing, from a training perspective, not just, and you mentioned it, the cookie cutter, let's just watch this PowerPoint presentation and, you know, hope for the best, versus let's talk, let's interact, let's put ourselves in this scenario, what would you do, and so on. Is that kind of like what a tabletop looks like?
Yeah, so what we do is we try to put some undue stress on people, right? Mm-hmm. You put them on a time clock. You say, okay, this event happens, and then now what do we do, and what are we going to do next, and what's our vision, and how we plan this? Because what I will tell you is this, is that when crisis hits, you're going to do what it is that you know, what you've been taught, and how you're going to react to that, or you're going to freeze up. You know, I mean, the unfortunate event that happened in Virginia Tech, right? Those students would all tell you that they weren't prepared for that event to happen.
Right.
So that's where the whole run, hide, fight really originated from. Right. So then you got to look at it. You got to pull yourself back a little bit and look at from a leadership standpoint. Holy cow. You know, what other pieces of the puzzle am I missing that I need to do in order to try to save or mitigate this situation from happening? So as far as the tabletops are concerned, I think it's an invaluable tool. Mm-hmm. Going back to that whole pulling in to get gas at some sketchy gas place, you know, am I going to make the wrong decision or the wrong call in relationship to trying to save a situation or getting the right resources or having the right material? Do I have a facility that can house enough people in what we don't like to call them safe rooms, but in a hardened area, if they were to have to hide in a location like that? So those are things that I think are important for leadership in a tabletop exercise, right, to really understand how these pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Whew. Got to pause and chew on that for a minute, eh, Mark?
I know. Wow. I have a question for you. So in our industry, multifamily, I could see this being very, very valuable, not only for, obviously, your client is the corporation, the entity that you know, kind of oversees the properties. But if I had a property management company and I wanted to hire your group to come out and assess our properties, do you guys do any type of training or education for the residents out on site also? Because that is a huge benefit from the perspective of, this is what we're also offering our residents, a little bit of a piece of, you know, a safety tip or something. Is that something you guys do? What does your program look like as sort of the whole packaging of it?
Yeah, a good point there, Mark. So here's how I would answer that is that we have a structured training program, right, that we put in place for the staff and the employees and things of that nature. Then what we started to do is create seminars, right? And those seminars are based upon the citizen's response, right? How a citizen should react to this. Because again, I go back and say that the Harvest Fest, that right there impacted so many people that had no idea that could have taken place the way that it did. But yet, what educational components could have potentially been given to save a life, right? Because what we find is this, is that people are more engaged in wanting to know about this than not. So it's not like people stray away from wanting to know. They just don't want to know the graphic parts of it, right? And I get all that. So to answer your question, one of the things that I leave with every single one of my seminars is this, is that I challenge, and I always open up with a test, like you're all going to get a test at the end of this. And the test is, I want you to leave my seminar, I want you to go home, and I want you to find two or three family members or loved ones, and I want you to share one or two things that you've taken away from today's program. And I want you to impart that in them and have a robust conversation to if anything else, keep on passing the word. So ultimately, answering your question is that if there was a housing unit that housed 100 people, and those were all clients that are renting out apartments, I would strongly suggest that a seminar would be casted for those folks, because there's no secret that this is happening, right? We're not hiding this, that this is happening.
Right.
And listen, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and I'm not trying to say that things are going to get worse, but COVID has certainly brought on another crisis in and of itself, right? And I think people from a mental state are going to also be kind of running around and not knowing, because maybe they haven't been diagnosed properly and things of that nature. So again, it goes back to the proactive approach, mm-hmm. to educate people and to show identifying factors that maybe, hey, resident so-and-so, they haven't been as friendly and something's going on and something's not right. And maybe we report that to somebody just to at least get a threat assessment done. I think the more we educate people, it's not about being nosy and getting other people's business. It's about having a safe environment where we all feel comfortable and safe to go home at the end of the night. If that ultimately answers your question, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I love your get a safety assessment, I think you said, on everyone. In my brain, I heard get a safety assessment on everyone. So I'll take it a step further. What I need for you guys to work on is a little name badge that says after they've been assessed, maybe it could say crazy, a little crazy, teetering, you know, like I'm on the edge, because I need to know, man. I need to know who these people are. I want to stay away from them. But it's true. I think that we are in I call it a state of an emergency here in Atlanta for sure, that crime is up, people's temperatures are up. You can't just have a disagreement anymore without a gun being drawn, it feels like. And so I like what you're doing. I like what you guys are providing. I think that I would be very surprised if you weren't extremely busy, because we need this type of process
program.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Program. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love, and what we do is we tie ours into workplace violence, right? Because usually workplace violence is a very part of what we're talking about here. And what most people don't understand is this, right, guys, is that people don't just snap. People don't just, today's the day, I'm going to do it, it's over. There's things that have caused that ripple effect, that cascading effect, for them to get to where they are today. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to catch that link before it breaks to get to the ultimate, where the only people that are going to end it is themselves or law enforcement at that point, right? But going back to my initial point, the more education that we get out there, the more knowledge that we get out there to the masses, the more respectable they are going to be to these events and how they happen. But then how can we be a force to stop this event from even getting off the ground? What we don't do enough in our nation is we don't share enough that these events that have been mitigated. Look at the event just recently in Colorado, right? The night before the All-Star game, where somebody reported that obviously the maid went in there and found these guns the way that they were situated. And I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, she should be martyred. That's the one we should be talking about her name in all the media, not the idiot. Excuse me. I don't know if I can call them idiots, but the person that's chosen to become a knucklehead, or maybe I shouldn't call them knuckleheads either, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The reality is that we should martyr those folks that make the right decisions and do the right things. And I'd love to know what kind of training she's had that even made her go to that level to ask that question, then to force the hands of law enforcement to come in and do what they did. So we can only imagine the lives that were saved as a result of that.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. And you've made so many valuable points. And I think of it from our audience too, Mike. Some may be saying, well, how does fair housing come into play? And I want to reassure our audience that Mike and I and Pete have had that conversation, and that the training that they provide, you know, it doesn't conflict with what fair housing laws are. Correct. And I love the fact that you highlighted, like, this is just workplace violence on a different level. Like, we're paying attention to it. We're not treating it as just another OSHA topic. And you've kind of touched on it a fair bit, Mike. I'd just like to explore it just a little bit more if possible. So one of the reasons in hearing this from other friends and other colleagues, it's one of those things that you ignore until you're put in that situation and then you wind up becoming an advocate. And we need to find that medium. Like, we don't want to have to wait until we're victimized by it. And we don't want to not, as you mentioned, put our head in the sand. So how are you helping people understand that this can be a professional, educational, informative, empowering discussion, teaching session, and not one where it's just like everybody's like, you know, like, oh, what am I going to do, and not become paranoid? What do you do to address those fears, those emotions?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it best right there, Jonathan. Empowering people, right? Isn't that what it is that we're trying to do? Is we want to empower people to realize that there are bad things out here and there are bad people that are waiting to do bad things to good people.
Right.
What we want to do is we want to really take a different approach. We don't want to talk about the tragedies as much as we want to talk about the positives. How can we now take this bad event and make a proactive stance to say, these are the things that we want you looking for in order to do that. And now today, I'm going to ask you, question yourself. So run those questions through your mind. What am I doing to prevent myself from being robbed when I pull into the local gas station or going into the convenience store? What am I doing to not paying attention when I'm walking out to the car and I'm opening up the car door, but I got my hands full of packages? Mm-hmm. What am I doing as far as a safety procedure when I go into that apartment building and the door's propped open and I have tailgaters that are following me into a secured facility, right? So there's a lot of things that we twist and not make it negative, because at the end of the day, this is about all of us having success in our lives and being able to enjoy this journey that we call life, right?
In
a very positive state. These horrific events are horrific in and of themselves. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not making light of that, but I think that every person that we educate, we become stronger, we become more bonded, and we're going to be able to make a difference when it comes down to, as I always talk about, our mantra is protecting America one community at a time. And that's what our goal is. And no matter where that community is or what they're doing, and I didn't share this with on the onset, but we've probably got amongst all of us on our staff, we've probably got well over 150 years of law enforcement experience.
Wow.
So from that standpoint, our goals, our passion, our joy is to make sure that people are safe at what they're doing and for them to recognize, are they doing the right things in order to be safe? If that answers your question, John.
It does. It does. No, that was excellent. Mark, what do you think? Any thoughts on that?
I mean, honestly, that sounded like a great ending to everything that you just summarized. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, what's your mantra? You said what making America,
making America. Hold a second. Now you got me all confused here. Protecting America one community at a time.
Protecting America one community at a time. I mean, that's correct. Perfect. That is what a great way to kind of summarize everything that you guys do.
Right. And it is just one of those things that you feel better knowing what to do. And this is, I don't know if this is a good parallel or not, but it's like, why do we have, like, even in this building I'm in right now, I'm looking out the window and I see there's the fire exit. Okay. It's clear. I know what I need to do. Do I do that assessment when I'm coming into a new building? You never know when things are going to happen. And so this is just to another whole level of how to keep yourself safe, how to keep your team safe, how to keep residents safe in the context of our property management clients. And I think this is just, it is, what an amazing conversation. We're so grateful that you've been available to be on the show today. Thank you so, so much.
Absolutely. And if I may, can you all started off with a tip. Can I give a tip here?
Yeah.
So here's my tip. I'm actually going to throw two of them at your way. Okay. At no cost right now. I'm just joking. I'm going to throw two of them at your way. The first thing that I would challenge people with is this. When you go in and out of your residence, you go in and out of your workplace, you go in and out of wherever you go, we are animalistic people. And what we find ourselves doing is the same thing repeatedly over and over again. So in essence, when tragedy hits or crisis hits, you're going to backtrack the way in which you've always come in and out of that facility. What I'm going to suggest to you is to find alternative routes and start using alternative routes, because just like with Aurora, Colorado, the movie theater, mm-hmm. people only knew the exit doors that were to the ones they came in, as opposed to the exit doors that went out by the stages. So what I'm asking people to do is look for alternative routes and ensure that you have that route scoped out, so you're training yourself to do something else. And the second tip is this, is that we never pull the fire alarm during an active threat shooting or active threat drill, because if people are barricaded somewhere, they think there's a fire now, and we don't want them to vacate if there's no fire. So we don't pull the fire alarm. Those are my two tips, and I hope they help out.
Oh, that's and
listen,
beautiful.
You know, we're here as a support staff. Whatever you or your clients need, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm sure you guys will provide the website for us, the www.intelligenceconsultings.com. Please feel free to reach out, if anything, to have a conversation.
Yeah. No, this is excellent. Excellent tips. I forgot about that fire alarm one, but that's that, you know, I would never think of that. Like, and that is what most people will go to. It's like, oh no, there's an emergency. Where's my magic bell that will tell everybody about the emergency? And that's the wrong one to pull. Right. So that's awesome. And your website is intelligenceconsultingpartners.com, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So everyone who's listening, check out their website. They've got a lot of great resources and articles and ways to contact them. Any other ways, Mike? Is that the best way for people to reach out?
Yeah, that's probably the best way. We're on Facebook and as well too. But the best way to get a hold of us is that way. If anybody wants to reach out to me directly, my email is mwweller@intcp.us. And please feel free to utilize that and get a hold of us. We can also link to our training on our website as well too. And that comes directly to us as well. We're just very, very, happy to be a part of your audience and whatever we can do to stimulate this conversation to realize that we're moving in a direction that hopefully will save a life, right? One life taken is way too many. So we're definitely going to do what we need to do. That all being said, you know, guys, I mean, this is a topic that I could probably talk about for a year. And I just certainly want to give you kind of a taste of where we are and what we're doing. And thanks again. We definitely appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no, I know that for sure. I know this has just been a sliver of the education that you provide. A very, very, very high level overview. So excellent tips. We appreciate having you on. I know everyone, please check out their website, intelligenceconsultingpartners.com. You will learn a lot. You've got a great resource. And if this is something that you need to assess for your community, for your corporate office, please reach out to them. So this has been another awesome show, episode 34. Mike Weller, thank you so much for being here. Mark Howell, how can people connect with you? Just a reminder to our audience, please.
Yes, absolutely. So I am on Facebook, LinkedIn under Mark Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L, but my business is called Howell Creative Concepts, and that is howellcreativeconcepts.com. The Howell is spelled H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon. So please feel free to reach out to me there. We can have multiple conversations about any type of education that you guys are wanting to talk about. And I think, Jonathan, I speak for both of us. We're always looking for very exciting guests with wonderful topics just like this one. If you are interested in having a conversation with us on the show, please let either one of us know.
Yep. Connect with us on LinkedIn. We would love to have you. So thank you again. Episode 34. Please give us a thumbs up. Follow us on your favorite podcast station. Connect with us on YouTube. We will see you on our next show. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.